Susan, David McCullough here sitting in for Claire Byrne today, and we welcome your views on any of the topics we cover on the programme. Here's how you can get in touch. Text 51551, email saturday@rte.ie, Twitter address is @SaturdayRTE. Hopefully Minister of State Patrick O'Donovan will be joining us shortly. He's on his way from the official launch of Leo Varadkar's campaign for the leadership of Fine Gael. We'll also be talking to Senator Jerry Buttermer, who's backing Simon Coveney. Here in studio, our Sinn Féin Deputy Leader Mary Lou MacDonald, Fianna Fáil's Sean Fleming, Chair of the Dáil Public Accounts Committee, Kevin Doyle, Group Political Editor of Independent News and Media, and Dr. Kevin Cunningham, pollster for research and strategy company Ireland Thinks. So a short time ago, Leo Varadkar launched his campaign. More supporters unveiled there, including tarnished of Francis Fitzgerald. His lead over Simon Coveney now looks unassailable. So what can we expect from a government led by Leo Varadkar?
And if elected as leader of this great party in Taoiseach, I will work to honour the public trust and ensure that we govern with integrity in all things. Fine Gael must be a party that can win support from all parts of the country and from people of all backgrounds, from Castleknock to Clondalkin, from Dungarvan to Dahoma. Not because we seek to be all things to all people, but because there are people in all walks of life, in every town and townland, who share our values. We be the party that represents those who get up early in the morning, who work hard, who aspire to have more for their children and more for their community.
Now, some of Simon Coveney's supporters unhappy at the blitzkrieg of support which seems to be about to sweep Leo Varadkar into the Taoiseach's office. Here's Kate O'Connell, TD for Dublin Bay South, addressing party members in Clare last night, a recording supplied to us by the Irish Independent.
I am very disappointed in the last few days at the choreographed, coordinated choir boys that came out. Boys that are singing for their supper and perhaps will end up leaving. Exactly what I found out from you when I came and I spoke to you. That you wanted to be heard as members, the councillors want to be heard. And with the process the way it's turning at the minute, your voices will not be heard. The campaign manager of the other side for a long time as a member in Dublin Bay South. And I know the form, and I'm not shocked at what has happened in the last 48 hours. But we will continue, and we will fight, and we will run our two-week campaign.
There you go. Kate O'Connell speaking last night, showing how united Fine Gael is as this leadership contest continues. Senator Jerry Buttermer is on the line from Cork. Jerry, those comments last night, widely reported today, exactly what Party HQ didn't want.
No, look, I mean, Kate made remarks at a meeting in Clare. She's a very passionate supporter of Simon Coveney, and she obviously felt the need to make those remarks. I certainly, I'm not coming on your programme today to cast aspersions on any member of the Fine Gael party, be it parliamentary party or member. We've all made a decision who we support. That's our entitlement, and this is about a campaign for the leader of the Fine Gael party. It's a conversation that we're having, and undoubtedly there's momentum behind Leo Varadkar, but, you know, this is, I think, a healthy part of our democracy. To have an electoral college where we'll have two candidates going around the country, meeting the members and engaging with members and councillors. But certainly there's passion on all sides of this debate, and I'm certainly not coming on your programme today to pour further oil on anybody. I'm here to support Simon Coveney, but recognising that there are members in other parts of the party who are supporting the Varadkar, and that is their democratic right and entitlement.
It's fighting talk, but the papers are unanimous in writing your man off. It's all over, surely?
Well, it certainly looks very daunting today when you see 45 members of the parliamentary party, but there are two other parts to the process, as you know, David. There's the electoral college where you have the councillors and the party members, where we will have four hustings and where Simon will be able to go across the country to converse and to meet with the people and outline his vision, which is one about unifying the party, unifying the country, and he's fighting for what I suppose all of us want, is to see a more equal and more just society. We've come out of the worst recession, which was decimated by Fianna Fáil. We are the party that offers opportunity, that offers hope and has a vision for the future, where we bring all sides of our community, north, south, east and west, rich and poor, together under other political parties who seek to divide.
But does there come a point when defeat is inevitable? There's no point in continuing what could be a very divisive contest.
Well, this is, like the Grand National, a four-mile race. We're just gone around the first bend, so to speak. And
your man is a bit of a handicap now,
Jerry. Absolutely, I accept that, but I'm confident that Simon has the tenacity and the courage to take his message to the people. It is a difficult task, there's no doubt about that, David. It would be naive of me to suggest otherwise in your programme today, but Simon has a positive, ambitious, forward-looking message for the members of Fine Gael, but also for the people of Ireland, and he's determined to bring his approach to the people as part of the four hustings.
Now, I know you don't want to address Kate O'Connell's remarks, but it was interesting what she said about the chorus of choir boys. It does reflect a narrative that's very much in the media today about how well organised Leo Varadkar's campaign has been. They came out very quickly with that quick succession of people supporting him, which has created a momentum. Basically, Team Coveney isn't at the races.
Well, undoubtedly, momentum within the parliamentary party is very much behind Leo, and that is the prerogative of members of the parliamentary party to support their candidate, and that's fair enough. Ultimately, we will all unite behind whoever wins the contest to be the leader of Fine Gael and hopefully the next Taoiseach of our country, because we're all on the same team. We may have different support in terms of who we support to be the captain of the team, but this is about a conversation that we must have as a party about the future direction of our party, about the type of government we want to see leading our country. No votes have been cast yet, and I think the hustings will give an opportunity for the first time ever in the history of the Fine Gael party in electing our leader and hopefully the next Taoiseach of our country, an opportunity to engage, to have their say, to have their voice heard, to question, and I think that's a healthy thing for our party, and we're lucky and we're fortunate to have two excellent candidates in Simon Coveney and Leo Varadkar.
If for any reason the contest was called off and the members didn't get to have their voice, didn't get to have their votes counted, would they be upset?
I'm sure they would, David. I mean, this has been something that members of the party have been, they campaigned for, to have the rule changed at the Ardèche. They had, there's lots of activity over the last couple of weeks, unofficially, so to speak, but this is the chance for the member on Ganadh Dinna, the member of the party who goes out knocking on doors, who represents us across the parishes and communities of our country. We are the biggest political organisation in our country. This is their opportunity to have their say, and I'm sure they're looking forward to it. But, there's no doubt that we have in the Simon Coveney campaign a tough task at this stage.
Okay, stay with us if you can, Jerry. Kevin Doyle of the Group Political Editor of the Irish Independent, you've been crunching the numbers. Is it game over?
Yeah, it's done and dusted. It's a bit like watching the Eurovision and you see the first 10 countries give the 12 points to one song and there's no point, you might as well go to bed early, because at 45 TDs, senators, MEPs, which we have now, and I was in at the launch and they were passing around nomination papers to make sure everybody's signature had them. They were nearly running out of them, David. Like, that's the situation we were in. Catherine Byrne, who was an undeclared and unknown, wanders into the room and it's like, oh, how are you, Catherine? Sign a paper. The same with Senator Joe Riley. And then I suppose the two big secrets were Michael Ring and Francis Fitzgerald, which were hidden in a back room for us and no one would tell, but the whispers were going around. The fact that Michael Ring parked his MO car out the front probably didn't help either. But
it was hardly end of Kenny.
Yeah, exactly. So no, it's over. He has, if you break it down by the Electoral College, he has in around 40% the way it's weighted, which means that for Simon Coveney to do this, he pretty much has to take more or less all of the councillors in the country and more or less all of the membership. And we already know that's not happening, because Leo Varadkar has huge numbers of councillors in Donegal, in Leitrim, in Galway, in Dublin, of course. So no, it's done, it's dusted.
There is that problem for Simon Coveney. He was very downright on primetime on Thursday night. He wasn't withdrawing. He was very downright again yesterday. He wasn't withdrawing. He was going to keep fighting. He wants to give the members their chance. And yet he's asking people in the parliamentary party who are going to have to deal with Taoiseach Leo Varadkar to stay on side.
Yeah, and it's difficult. I mean, there's all sorts of rumours and speculations about double agents who have publicly said one thing and may cast their vote another way privately and give Leo a wink and a nod to say, don't worry, I had your back all along. There's a problem now for Simon Coveney, because he has to make a very, very big political call. The media interest for a start is going to seep away from him, because now we're going to be chasing Leo Varadkar. We want to know what his policies are on Brexit, on health, on housing, because he's going to be the man.
Yeah, interesting point. Not a single policy has been outlined.
Like this whole idea, which was one that Leo Varadkar and Lucinda Creighton gave birth to years ago, that the membership would have a vote in the hustings and all the rest of it. It's astonishing to think that without him actually telling us one idea, and he didn't have any today at the launch either, that he has basically won the election. So the hustings are almost irrelevant. And dare I say it, Simon Coveney's points are almost irrelevant now. But to pull out or to stay in? That's his question. His supporters last night were privately talking about how do you do a gentleman's agreement? Do you meet up with Leo Varadkar and go, look, let's end this politely? Or do you keep going to force that debate? And one of the things that he said at that private meeting that Kate O'Connell also spoke at last night was that he wanted to stay in because while he accepts he might not win, whoever does win, whoever is going to be the next Taoiseach, should be fully tested and people should know what he's about before he actually becomes Taoiseach. So I think that suggests he is going to go. Of course, the party has budgeted $250,000 for this, David, so they might like if he did pull out as well.
Wow. You mentioned Kate O'Connell there, and we heard a clip from her speech, thanks to the Irish Independent. What's the impact of that speech likely to be?
I talked to a few people at the launch in town just now. I think they were kind of shrugging it off. It's a little bit of those, and it was quite funny because the way they lined them all up, they were like choir boys all lined up, and Owen Murphy was directing them and telling people where to sit. I think in her constituency the damage might be slightly more heavy than in the wider picture, because people see it as, look, tempers are running high, there's a little bit of desperation on the Coveney camp, they have to try and keep themselves relevant. And I think they were just so shocked and devastated by the way Leo Varadkar rolled these people out that, of course, people say things in the heat of the moment. It was a rip-roaring speech. I've listened to the whole lot of it. I know you played probably the highlights of it, but it was a fantastic speech. But I think people will shrug it off in the end.
Yeah, it was a fantastic speech. Lots of passion there. Maybe she should have been running for the leadership, eh?
Well, you never know. There was concerns, I suppose, in the Leo camp when herself and Maria Bailey, two of the first time young female TDs from Dublin, went so early in the race with Simon Coveney. He brought in Josepha Madigan to try and balance that out for what one of the people in Team Leo said was emotional intelligence as the balance there. So it's kind of an interesting one that Kate O'Connell had to go with Simon Coveney in some respects because Owen Murphy was basically the director of elections for Leo Varadkar, and I think that whole speech last night to a large extent comes back to the constituency.
Indeed. Well, it would be remiss of me not to welcome one of the chorus of choir boys, Patrick O'Donovan, Minister of State. You're just hot-footed in from Leo Varadkar's campaign launch. Is your man home and hosed?
Look, we're in the middle of an election, David, and we're going to finish it out. That's the way we've approached it from the very start, and so there's nothing taken for granted here. There's still 4 regional meetings that have to be held next week, and then there's going to be the vote of the councillors and the membership, so we're not taking anything for granted.
It's a bit pointless at this stage, isn't it?
No, I mean, the parliamentary party is worth 65%, so nobody has a clear win yet, we've been very, I suppose, clear and to the point that we value the input of the members and the councillors. It was actually Leo Varadkar proposed the change in the system for electing a leader a number of years ago to Nardesh. So once he decided that he was going to go on this road, you know, we take the value of the councillors and the members very seriously, and they have been canvassed very intensively.
Okay, is there a danger? I mean, the strategy was very successful to keep rolling out announcements. Blitzkrieg, as some people have described it, shock and awe was described as in the Examiner, I think, yesterday. And it's been very successful in drawing the waverers into Leo's camp. But is there a danger that the party grassroots are going to feel that they're being ignored?
No, at the end of the day, I mean, sure, I'm as much the grassroots of the party as anybody else. I'm a card-carrying member of the party.
You're also a Minister of State, Patrick, and yeah. You may even have aspirations for higher office. Who knows?
Well, that's a matter for the Taoiseach. And look, I mean, I know the membership in my constituency, and I reflect, I suppose, in a lot of what the members are saying. We meet regularly. So, you know, I think once people get elected to the Dáil, whether they're Mary Lou MacDonald, Sean Fleming or myself, you know, you don't lose touch with the people that you represent, especially when you're a member of a party. So I consider myself every bit a member of the grassroots. Roots as the members who are not office holders or who are not councillors.
Mary Lou MacDonald, sitting looking at this as an outsider, we'll talk about the impact on the government in a bit, but looking at it from the outside, what do you make of what's going on? If you were Simon Coveney, what would you do?
I think it's all very choral, and there's an emphasis on boys. I'm curious to see that the addition that women parliamentarians bring is emotional intelligence. I think to myself, we surely do, but we bring a lot more. Look.
Possibly it's just that particular group needed emotional intelligence.
Yes, well, listen, you can read what you will into that. Obviously, whoever leads Fine Gael is a matter for Fine Gael. I imagine, and I'm speculating because I wouldn't know the mindset of grassroots Fine Gaelers, but I would imagine that there is an appetite amongst the grassroots the councillors to actually have a say, because it's a bit of a contradiction if on the one hand you have an Ardesh position to open up the contest, to I suppose make it more democratic, and then if in the reality it's kind of a slam dunk by the parliamentary party. And I would imagine just within any political organisation you'd have to be careful that that didn't backfire on you. The leadership of Fine Gael does not cause me a wink of sleep at night. You will not be surprised to hear.
That's good news.
I am more concerned about who occupies the office of an Taoiseach and what that direction might be. And I have to say, in terms of Leo, one positive thing that I do take from this, and I think this is generational and I think a very positive signpost for where we're at now and for politics, is that the two candidates you have, one, you know, in the orthodox sense, a married family man, you have another, an openly gay man in a stable relationship. You have one who is Celtic and pale, and the other who has more mixed origin. I think it is a really positive thing. It's one positive I take, that actually none of those things either make you an automatic choice or exclude you. So I think that's a positive thing, and I think that's very welcome. I think that's a sign of where Ireland is at. The negative thing...
You might give him the number two, you're saying.
The negative thing is that Leo, if he is the heir, if he is the successor, I think set out his stall politically and in a very calculated way, on a very negative premise. And I think even this jazz of we'll be for people who get up early in the morning is nearly a sideswipe to people who he presumes are lolling in bed all day. We'll probably get back to talk about that.
The position
of Taoiseach, it's one thing to set out positions as the leader of Fine Gael. Fine Gael is a right-wing outfit. That's their gig. It's a different thing when you occupy the office of Taoiseach.
Okay. We're going to get back into the policy in a minute, but Sean, just in terms of the actual contest, I mean, you're looking at it as an outsider, you don't have a dog in this fight, but what would your advice be to Simon Coveney?
Well, one, I won't give advice to either candidate, but what I can say is I look at the last time Fianna Fáil was in this position when we had two candidates vying for the leadership, and this is what happened in our party. It was Bertie Ahern and Maura Geoghegan Quinn, and it became clear very early in the race that Bertie was going to win and win comfortably. Maura Geoghegan Quinn had people declared for her and nominated her, and they were willing to go out and canvass and work for her, and she took the view herself. She didn't even consult her own supporters. She took the view she didn't want them hanging in the wind for several days, weeks, against what was obviously going to be the new party leader. And she also took the view it would be better for party unity rather than having a divisive, well, an unnecessary vote, because she felt she knew the outcome.
She was definitely going to lose, yeah.
Yeah, she was going to lose. And she took the view in the party interest and all those type of issues to make a decision to withdraw, and we ultimately didn't have a vote. Now, I'm not saying Fine Gael should do that. Yeah. That's what happened in our party. Maybe Fine Gael is completely different, but I'm just drawing the comparison to what happened
in the leadership election. After that, you had a coronation and that didn't work out too well.
Yeah, and then the next time, we had no vote for Brian Cowan, and then the next time when he retired, we had a vote actually between Micheál Martin, Éamon Caoimhe, the late Brian Lennon and Mary Hanafin. So we had a four-way contest. So, but the last time...
Was that healthy to be able to set out, candidates set out their stalls and all that sort of stuff?
Well, a bit...
It was interesting, isn't it?
Well, yes, but that was almost over very quickly too, because and there wasn't an organised campaign, but within 24, 48 hours, it was clear Micheál Martin had the numbers on that occasion.
I want to bring Jerry Butterworth back in a second, because I know he has to go, but before I do, Patrick, what did you make of Kate O'Connell's speech?
Look, I mean, we all said at the start of this that we didn't want to get involved in a sideshow, and I have no notion of getting involved in it. We're very focused, and at the end of the day, whoever the leader of the party is, the party has to be united. We're all Fine Gael people at the end of the day, and you know, whatever happens in the outcome of it, we have to unite the party, and that person is going to lead a government. So I have no interest in personalities, none whatsoever. And I think the best thing to do is forget about it.
Okay, Senator Gerry Butimer, I know you need to go, so I just wanted to give you a last word. Some advice there from Sean Fleming and Mary Lou McDonald, that it might really be wiser for Simon to think about whether this is a good idea to keep going?
Well, Simon Coveney has always put the interests of Fine Gael and the people that he represents and the country first. And, you know, when we hear the cynicism and the negativity of Mary Lou, we understand the importance of this leadership contest for Fine Gael, because it's about uniting the country, rebuilding it and giving the people hope. And that's what both Simon Coveney and Leo Varadkar offer. But Simon Coveney has, you know, always put the people first and will continue to do so. And I'm sure we will have, you know, our launch tonight in Cork, and we will have a conversation around the values we bring to the Fine Gael party and to the country.
Okay, well, Gerry Buttermer, thanks very much for joining us. Before I bring in my next guest, Fine Gael have been on to say they're not spending $250,000 on this contest. It's considerably less, according to a spokesman, although there isn't actually a figure on that. But anyway, not $250,000. Kevin Cunningham, Dr. Kevin Cunningham of Ireland Thinks, which is a research company, you've done some polling on this. Leo Varadkar brings something to the party, brings a game to the party. So does Simon as well, actually.
Yeah, but in fact, so what we did, we would do a normal poll, normal voting intention poll, where we ask people the standard question, who would you vote for if there was a general election tomorrow? And then we also separately asked them, well, if Simon Coveney was leader or if Leo Varadkar was leader, who would you then vote for? And both candidates actually gave Fine Gael a significant boost. Simon actually 6% and Leo a huge 9% boost. Now, the extent to which these things will actually play out, we don't really know. But yes, Leo Varadkar definitely gives a significant boost. And this is partly because of the volatility in the electoral system. There are lots of people looking around, particularly between Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael, who aren't quite sure as to who they might actually vote for. I mean, these switchers are people who think about leadership. They're people who are concerned with lots of kind of more ephemeral issues rather than the policies. But they're predominantly, all these people are kind of define themselves as centre-right or right-wing, basically.
OK, so that pool of votes, so the change of leadership, it's just not going to make a great impact on Sinn Féin, no. But it potentially can on Fianna Fáil.
Absolutely. It doesn't affect Sinn Féin or the AA or anything. In fact, they're entirely inoculated from any of these changes in leadership. But there's a massive change, basically, in terms of significant numbers of significant numbers of.
I've got my jabs on the way.
Okay. Significant numbers of younger voters who may not necessarily have voted for Fianna Fáil their entire lives, but actually might have preferred Micheál Martin over Enda Kenny, and with the new leader of Fine Gael, they're actually being attracted back.
Okay, well, it's interesting to see what the impact on the other parties of a change of leadership of Fine Gael is, and it's something that Francis Fitzgerald mentioned at the launch of Leo Varadkar's campaign just a short time ago.
His journey reflects the one we are on as a country, embracing inclusion and diversity. Leo is the leader to call out the hypocrisy of the fantasists on the hard left, the scripted populism of Sinn Féin, and the revisionists in Fianna Fáil. And you know what? He's just getting started.
Just getting started. Well, he hasn't started yet, of course, because he hasn't been elected to the office yet. So, Mary Lou McDonald, Leo's going to take on the scripted populism of Sinn Féin, eh?
Indeed. And I heard, I think it was on the Sean O'Rourke show, somebody was on, it might have been Charlie Flanagan, sort of puffing his chest out and saying, proclaiming to the nation that Leo was going to take on the Shinners. And funny enough, the last political person who was at that crack was Alan Kelly some time back, and it didn't go so well. So the debate is good. Leo is Leo. He is a Fine Gael man. He will be a Fine Gael leader. I was saying to you earlier, Dave, that I was concerned not so much as in his capacity as leader of Fine Gael, but whoever would be in the office of Taoiseach. For instance, the business of him opening up this line on welfare fraud and putting madly inflated figures of $500 million into the public domain with no basis in fact. I thought that demonstrated very poor judgment on his part. I think that was a deliberately divisive strategy. And look, at the end of the day, whichever political tradition you come from, I think we can accept in the Dáil that people want work and opportunity for all of our citizens. We'll have varied and very, very different views on many matters. But I think what we all need to understand is that you don't set out to scapegoat people because you presume that they're poor or they're in a disadvantaged position. And I think it's laughable for anybody to talk about, you know, being about diversity or being about inclusion if the opening premise of your leadership campaign was to take a hard knock at pensioners and people in receipt of payments. And by the way, just so as your listeners know, the level of fraud, true fraud, is tiny. The methodology used to actually calculate what might be fraud is bizarre. We've been through this in the Public Accounts Committee, as Sean will attest. Mm. And I really got worried when I said, what in the name of God is Leo Varadkar at here? What is that all about? At a time when people have been through grinding austerity, job loss, income cuts, what person who actually has the good of the country in mind, or who aspires to the role of Taoiseach, sets out their stall? And that was a central plank, it seems to me, for in his bid for the leadership of Fine Gael. So I am very, very concerned at that. Okay. And if he wishes to take us on and our scripted populism, that of course is entirely his right. But he can understand from the get-go that we're not going to sit silently back and listen to that nonsense.
Okay, well, just before I bring Patrick O'Donovan in, a lot of reaction to the people who get up early in the morning comment today. We've got a couple of texts in. Leo wants to represent people who get up early. That's casting aspersions on the unemployed and poor, disgraceful. Another comment from Gerard. I'm really annoyed with Leo's reference to leading a party who supports people who get up early in the morning. Two things. Are those who don't going to be the forgotten people? Lastly, I get up early every morning and work for approximately €10 an hour, barely able to survive, and I don't believe that Leo will care one whit about me. Less of the stupid soundbites, please. Patrick, was that unwise?
No, because at the end of the day, what he's reflecting there is that, you know, we want to be, and we are, a party that values work, and the best way to restore a person's dignity, and we've seen this over the last number of years, against the backdrop of the naysayers, particularly in Sinn Féin and elsewhere, to say that we wouldn't be able to recover the economy. The economy now has recovered substantially, and unemployment has fallen from 15 to 6%. And, you know, anybody that would suggest that this is an attack on pensioners, just that's rubbish, because you only need to look at Leo Varadkar's commitment in the Department of Social Protection when he went in there, in terms of the increases that he's been able to deliver. And anybody that would suggest that a Minister for Social Protection shouldn't go after fraud, that's rubbish as well.
Well, should they be spending tens of thousands of taxpayers' money on an ad campaign?
No, I mean, at the end of the day, there are people that are in genuine need of the social protection system, and the social protection system is designed to protect them. But there are also people who defraud the state on an annual basis.
A tiny proportion,
but if you look at the total budget that the Department of Social Protection has, for argument's sake, the total capital budget that I have in the Department of Sport is of the order of €30 million, which I'm expected to make loaves and fishes out of. So any money that's diverted away from people who are fraudulently claiming from the state when they shouldn't be, absolutely, there are plenty of places it can
be
spent.
What about rogue employers that don't pay statutory redundancy to people?
The government has no truck with anybody who doesn't pay.
Well, you're not putting ads on buses about it.
No, but I mean, at the end of the day, the Department to Social Protection has a massive budget, has a massive responsibility to look after the people that are very vulnerable and the less well off, and that is happening under this government. I mean, if you contrast what has happened in the last number of years, where we have been able to restore social welfare payments versus what we inherited, you can only do that with a growing economy. And I know the knockers are denying the fact that the country is in recovery, and you even have the AAA and whatever they're called now changing their name to drop the word austerity. So look, I mean, this is a reflection of what's actually happening in our country.
OK, I need to take a break, but I'm going to take a quick comment from Sean Fleming before.
Yeah, just on that specific point first, what's very important, Leo confirmed to me in the Dáil this week by way of parliamentary question, there is an equivalent amount of money owed by employers who haven't refunded the state for redundancy payment as there is in the entire social welfare overpayment. Leo has six times more staff chasing the little people than he has chasing the big employers. That says something about Leo.
It's probably been that way for years.
No, well, Leo is the guy who is now putting the ads and going after the little people.
How many people did you chase, Sean?
I think this is about
zero.
If you're happy to talk, if you don't want to talk about the Fine Gael leadership here today, that's your decision.
I talk about Fianna Fáil, but this is your moment for a change of leader.
It is. And if you don't want to talk about the change of leadership in Fine Gael, you want to talk about Fianna Fáil, says something about your
party. If you want to talk in a vacuum where there's no truth.
No, I said nothing untrue here, and don't even suggest that.
I've asked you, what's your record in this?
Well, then do we forget about the change?
6 years ago. Nobody can remember.
History.
People are living. Okay, now before we continue this interesting discussion, let's take a break. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Saturday. Kevin Doyle of the Irish Independent. We presume that if Leo is elected leader of Fine Gael, it seems certain that he will be, that he will be elected Taoiseach. When's the election?
Well, I think there's going to be a race, David, to call that election, because minority governments don't want to allow the opposition pull them down. Because what happens here, I think, now is that Fianna Fáil are going to be looking at this and going, you make a decision. Do you let Leo stay long enough that he seems part of it, or do you try and cut it before he gets a bit of a bounce? And I think there will be a race, because essentially, if Fianna Fáil pull it down, they get to go, this government is useless, we gave them every opportunity, they failed, so now it's Fianna Fáil's way, we're going to the country because this can't carry on. Or else Leo goes, I'm going to look for a mandate. Fine Gael are back on top. We've got our mojo back, to quote Enda Kenny, although Leo mightn't quote Enda Kenny. But let's get out there and get a proper mandate, because we can't work with these Fianna Fáil guys blocking everything we're trying to do. So I think that's what both sides are going to weigh up, and it's who blinks first.
OK, Dr. Kevin Cunningham, you've looked at whether the people actually want an election or not.
Yeah, so broadly speaking, only a minority of people want an election. But when you look at, when you break it down by party choice, you're talking about just 11% of Fine Gael voters want an election right now. That compares with 55% of the remaining other parties.
That might change with Leo at the helm, though.
Yeah. That could
change. They might
change.
Think they'd win.
It seems like their policies or their strategies are based entirely on electoral prospects, certainly. Yeah.
Okay. Mary Lou McDonald, what's your read of it?
Well, I think before all of this, I would largely agree with Kevin's analysis on this, in terms of there will be calculations made by Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael respectively. But before you get into any of that, you have to consider Leo, if it's Leo, becoming Taoiseach. So how does that happen? Fianna Fáil have to look the other way, abstain, acquiesce, put him in office. I don't think that the office of Taoiseach should be a bauble to be passed amongst the Fine Gael boys, choir boys or otherwise. I actually think a decision as to who occupies that office in the first instance has to be called by the electorate. And I think it would be healthy, although we're going from one election to another. We're in an election on the 8th of June, as you know.
If you had that, you'd never be able to... A Taoiseach would never be able to retire. Because if you had to have an election...
Well, no. Well, I think there is an important point of principle in terms of who leads, who wins the mandate, and not least in what is described very aptly as a do-nothing dole.
Well, nobody won the mandate
It was largely indecisive. So I think it would be healthy. I mean, we had the situation the other night where a very good motion in respect of AIB got through the dole by mistake, because the government forgot to vote against it. It is like being part of a slow bicycle race in that old chamber at the minute. That cannot continue. I mean, it's unhealthy, bad dynamic politics. I don't know if Sean could enlighten us as to the intentions of Fianna Fáil, if they intend, presiding over the coronation of the next Fine Gael Taoiseach. I don't think that's good for the country. I think we should go to the people.
OK, Sean Fleming, why don't you? Fianna Fáil, why don't you enlighten us?
Yeah, Fianna Fáil's position is quite clear, and we laid it out last year in the Confidence and Supply Agreement. And our agreement is that we have this agreement in place for three budgets, which takes us to the end of 2018 next year, and there'll be a midterm review at that stage. We signed that with the Fine Gael party, not personally with Enda Kenny. And it's also important that whenever there's a change of leadership in Fine Gael, the first thing they have to do is to talk to the independents in government, the other ministers. And we're not party to that programme of government. Then they have, I'd expect a new leader to talk to Micheál Martin. We made it clear last year when Enda Kenny was being elected Taoiseach that we would abstain in that vote. And it's up to them to be able to carry the majority of the all with Fianna Fáil abstaining. That's what we did. We've also given the Taoiseach the right to nominate his own ministers. That's in the Constitution. And for somebody to think that a political party shouldn't respect the constitutional right of a Taoiseach to do that, I think that's not reasonable. And finally, we have said that we will abstain on issues like budget matters. It's up to the providing the honour of the agreement, which is two-thirds of available money to go on restoring public services.
But the net point is that Leo Varadkar cannot become Taoiseach without your cooperation.
Exactly.
No, the net point is that Enda Kenny was elected Taoiseach based on the policies. If Leo Varadkar indicates that he's not in favour of the policies that's out there is a big issue. If he agrees to work the agreement that's there, there's no issue.
OK, and is there any issue in terms of who wins the contest? I mean, it looks like Leo Varadkar is going to win, but you would have preferred Simon Coveney, surely?
No, there's mixed
views. More emollients?
No, there's mixed views in Fianna Fáil on that. There's mixed views in Fianna Fáil about most things. We represent quite a lot, and so there should be. I'm surprised that people think it's strange that there should be mixed views in political parties. We encourage that. And as I said, the last time we had a leadership contest, we had four people contesting. So that's an example of the divergent views in Fianna Fáil. But once we make a decision, we then stick with it.
OK, Patrick O'Donovan, when's the election?
Well, as you heard, Fianna Fáil have given us an agreement and we're honouring it for three budgets, and we don't see any deviation from that. In fact, Leo Varadkar in his launch today was very clear that, you know, the confidence and supply in the programme for government, that's the blueprint on which we work. And, you know, just in relation to mandates, I mean, the mandate for the Office of Taoiseach comes from the Dáil. I mean, over the years since 1922, if you were to base it on mandates from the people only, any coalition government never had a mandate. And you know as well as I do that the country has been predominantly, you know, even in the recent past, has been predominantly governed by a form of coalition governments. And going back to Kevin's point in relation to minority governments, this is a unique formula. This has never been done before. So, I mean, you couldn't base this on any histrionics because there hasn't been any example of this. And Mary Lou mentioned coronation. You know, the Fine Gael party has taken the election of a leader in a very democratic way. Unlike what happens north of the border where a person is picked, you know, to lead Sinn Féin. And I hear there may very well be a coronation south of the border, which is kind of unique for a Republican party that would have a coronation as opposed to an election.
Shanae, can I just answer the point on Michelle?
I would
just
like
on
you
the
to.
Point of Michelle. Michelle is the putative joint first minister. That is the equivalent.
There's no such office.
It's almost like inoculated.
There would be. She's not. She might be inoculated too, but she is. She is the would be deputy first minister in the administration.
But she's the leader.
Hold on, and that is a matter for the at the discretion of the leader. She is the most senior person there by extension, and yes, she is the leader, okay. A leader in the north.
But sure, a vote would have been a good thing.
But sure, look. But hang on. Well, then are you going to vote? Do you take a vote on every ministerial appointment? That's
no,
the prerogative of the party leader.
Well,
so you're making
happen,
something out of nothing.
What's going to happen with the wider party? I mean, not to be ageist, but Enda Kenny is standing down after 15 years as party leader at the age of 66. Gerry Adams is 2.5 years older and has been party leader for a third of a century.
Correct.
Is it time to let the younger generation have a crack,
Mary? In terms of the election of our leader, that happens at our Ordesh. And our leader is elected by the party membership and it happens every year in plain sight, openly.
Yeah, but so there's always a great contest, isn't there?
In fairness, David, so does the North Korean leader. I mean,
I'm not sure.
Well, we're neither Korean nor Russian. And I'm not sure that they have parity or Deshina where we go through the democratic process.
But when was the last time the dear leader was actually challenged for the leadership?
Gerry has enjoyed and still enjoys the confidence of the party to lead. We are in transition. That will happen all in good time. And it'll happen at the discretion of the membership. And they will decide who the next leader is. There will
like
be no coronations.
That
there will be
like
no inoculations.
Okay, well, would
it'll
you
be very straightforward
sounds like
and
a
very
heave
democratic.
To me.
Would you expect...
Does it? Yeah. You're clearly not familiar then with heaves, Patrick.
Would you expect more than one candidate for the leadership?
When the time arises, I wouldn't be surprised. And I think you put the question earlier as regards, is it, you know, healthy to have things contested? I think it is, personally. I think it gives an opportunity for debate. And I think it gives an opportunity for whomsoever it is who comes into a role that they have, that they've been tested, that they've been put through their paces and that their position is beyond question. But I don't know. I'm speculating. I don't know how it's going to
work. So you'd be encouraging Pearce to throw his hat into the ring as well as yourself.
Listen, when the time arises...
Is your head in Mary, though?
When the time arises, and it hasn't arisen as of yet, I would encourage anybody who believes they can do the job to throw their hat in the ring.
No vacancy at the moment,
no
as Fine Gael people have been saying for quite some time. Would you be a candidate?
I've said this before. This isn't actually breaking news for you,
No,
David,
I know, but I'd like to hear you say
so
it again.
So let me rehearse it again, just for your
chorus.
Listeners.
Get to the chorus,
to the chorus.
Really.
I'm being choral. Yes, as and when the time arises, yes, I would like my name to be considered. That's been my position for some time and it hasn't changed.
OK. Kevin Doyle, we have seen a succession of people, ministers of state, backbenchers, senators, MEPs, coming out for Leo Varadkar. He has a certain number of jobs to give out. There's going to be some disappointment, isn't there?
Yeah, this is going to be Leo Varadkar's first actual big test, assuming this happens as we expect now, is going to be, and the first big row, there will be a row, is going to be over the jobs, because Basically, anyone who has a job, with the exception of poor Simon Harris, has backed Leo Varadkar. And so there isn't much movement, room for movement in Cabinet if you consider, OK, Michael Noonan is gone. So that's the Department of Finance opens up, probably for Pascal Donoghue, if we're honest about it. The Department of Social Protection opens up because Leo Varadkar is elevated to high office. And beyond that, you have to start wondering, I mean, Leo described Frances Fitzgerald as his great friend and mentor today. So you're inclined to think if she is the woman who's announcing him at his formal launch, that she's probably still in the mix for a seat. You start to look at Charlie Flanagan. He came out in a big way for Leo Varadkar as well. He's the Foreign Affairs Minister dealing with Brexit. So you're kind of saying there's an argument to be made to leave him there. And so suddenly the generational change that you're seeing, you're kind of going, well, who are you going to move out of the way to bring in Owen Murphy, who's almost certainly going to be in Cabinet? People like John Paul Phelan, who will have expectations. I don't know, maybe Patrick has expectations, but it's going to be a very, very tricky manoeuvre now for Leo Varadkar to keep them all happy.
OK, well, I want to find out whether Patrick O'Donovan does have expectations, and I'm going to find out after this break. Today we're talking about the Fine Gael leadership contest and the formation of a new, fresher government after that contest is over. Patrick O'Donovan, Minister of State, I saw somebody on Twitter, Susie Byrne, I think it was, wondering if all those pictures of signed nomination papers were IOUs being sent to Leo.
Look, I mean, to be honest about it, it's a great honour to be able to sign the nomination forms of Leo Varadkar. I've known him nearly 20 years. He's a very good friend of mine, and I've seen him develop from a member of Young Fine Gael. We joined the same day. I was actually his boss at one stage, fleetingly enough. We made such a mark on the political landscape as members of the Young Fine Gael National Executive. We thought we were going to change the world. Oh, how innocent were we? But look, we still have a process to go through, and at the end of the day, whoever the next Taoiseach is, they'll have mine and the entire parliamentary party's full support.
And would you be prepared to support him in Cabinet?
Look, I'm very honoured to be a Minister of State. It was a great opportunity that Enda Kenny gave me, something I'll never forget, and it's a great experience and something I'm really enjoying, and I'm not looking beyond it.
Okay, very diplomatic answer. Mary Lou McDonald, Simon Coveney's pitch, which doesn't seem to have had a great impact with his colleagues in the parliamentary party, was to try and present himself as more compassionate, socially aware, tradition of Just Society and Declan Costello and all the rest of it. Leo would be a bit different.
Very. I would think there may be a perception among some that Leo is sort of a cuddly liberal. I think what people will discover, and the episode, the way in which he pitched his argument initially, I think was extremely revealing in terms of his core politics. His politics would be as close to Tory politics as you're likely to find in Ireland. And hence the references to those that awake early in the morning. I should declare an interest in that I am a very early riser myself.
Well, you'll be all right then.
But so apparently I'll be okay. But that's very loaded kind of language. And I don't think it's an expression of support for enterprise and, you know, for the generation of wealth and all of things which are necessary in any society to keep the wheel turning. It's actually it's a snide sort of commentary on a section of the population that he believes don't vote for Fine Gael. Now, as I said earlier, as Fine Gael leader, okay, because that's clearly the mentality amongst a lot of them within that political party. But as Taoiseach, is it acceptable to start your opening gambit, your opening premise on what I would regard as a sneer against a section of the population? And Patrick challenged me on pensioners. I specifically reference pensioners because when you drill into these so-called overpayments and fraud, as you call it, for social welfare, you do find a level of fraud. You find also huge levels of overpayments, and a huge substantial proportion of those, as we discovered, actually relate to pensions and pensioners. So I think true to Fine Gael fashion, there will be a kind of a propaganda launch that they are the party of, you know, of industry, of commerce. But they're also saying, and we also care. And there's just a stark contradiction in that. And I would be concerned. I don't want anybody in the office of Taoiseach who believes that they can sneer at people who need not a hand out, but a hand up, particularly coming on the end of vicious, vicious cutbacks and austerity that Fine Gael and others, including Fianna Fáil, inflicted on the population.
Okay, Sean Fleming, you want to get in there?
Yeah, 2 points. You just mentioned about cabinet positions. You know, the option will be open to the new leader, Fine Gael, the incoming Taoiseach, maybe to reconfigure the cabinet post, and maybe Department of Public Expenditure and Finance could be re-merged into one. That might create a thing. But just one thing I do want to say briefly, because we didn't, and I know events have moved on, I do want to wish Enda Kenny and Michael Noonan well in their retirement. From their perspective, they did a good job. They were both decent people. I marked both of them in the Dáil on different occasions, and I wish both of them well. So the change now coming, it looks as if Fine Gael might be lurching to the right. And I think we see that, and this is possibly a difference. It'll be a call for Fine Gael. But thank God, we do have a programme for, or we do have a confidence supply agreement in there to ensure there will be a limit on any right-wing tendencies by any government.
So Fianna Fáil are going to save the day, aren't
no,
they?
Well, we're going to insist.
With their abstention.
No. We're going to insist. No budget will pass next autumn unless minimum of 2/3 of available resources go to restoring public services and on public expenditure issues. They won't be going to cut taxes for the better off in the country. And if that's the agreement, and that will hold.
Okay, Patrick. Leo Varadkar was an interesting piece by Miriam Lord in the Irish Times. He said a lot of people think of politics in terms of right or left, Thatcherite versus Social Democrat. And he said, I don't think that's the politics of the 21st century at all. The politics of the future is different. Progressive versus regressive, open versus closed. That's his pitch. But a lot of people see him as quite right-wing. Very right-wing.
I don't accept that at all. I mean, and I think in fairness, he's cutting himself from the same kind of a mould, I think, as and he said this himself during the week, as Justin Trudeau in Canada and Emmanuel Macron in France. I mean, if you look at it, the way he presents himself, the way he speaks, the way he articulates a message, he's anything but a right winger. I mean, this is a person who has, as Francis Fitzgerald said today, you know, he's undertaken his own journey and he is compassionate. He's a doctor that worked in a community. He's the son of a doctor who also worked in community, so knows the needs of individuals and their families, served as a counsellor, served as a backbench TD, you know, so understands what communities need. And also, I think from his experience, particularly in his most recent portfolio in the Department of Social Protection, from dealing with people like myself, when it even came down to the minutia of the importance in rural areas of rural social schemes, farm assist, when he met farming organisations with me, our community employment, he understands what families and individuals are going through, and that's hugely important for any leader.
Well, a bit like Justin Trudeau and Emmanuel Macron, he is relatively inexperienced in terms of politics in comparison to some people who take the highest office in the land. He's been 6 years a minister, though. What's he achieved?
Well, I think if you look at the Department of Transport, where I am myself at the moment, look at the renaissance that happened in tourism at a time when we went into government in 2011. And we viewed the cultivation of tourism as a hugely important thing. And he came up, the ideas that he came up with, the gathering, the 9% VAT, which I know Mary Lou opposes, you know, the Wild Atlantic Way, those initiatives have made a huge difference. Okay. And similarly in health and social protection.
Okay,
Kevin
Doyle, apart from getting out of health before he got completely destroyed by it, what's his achievements?
Yeah, and this is the thing that's going to be flung back at him. And I think this is probably why Leo Varadkar needs the campaign to run on for the next week, because twice now in 24 hours he talked about wanting to bring forward this social contract. We've no idea what this social contract is, and I think we need to start hearing that sort of stuff, because the accusation that's going to sit on him is things he's talking about, free GP care, the Lewis Cross City projects like that. They were all projects that were kind of in the ether anyway. The free GP care was actually a Labour policy, albeit he implemented it. So he's left himself open to accusation unless he brings forward his big ideas now before he becomes Taoiseach.
Okay, it's been reported Simon Coveney has cancelled the event in Cork and is considering pulling out of the leadership race. He'll make the decision this evening in Cork. Game over, ball bursters.
That's it, I'd say, by the sound of it. I think that's as much as it does. That's a huge, huge development.
Okay, well, I'm afraid that is as much time as we have it, as we have. My thanks to my guests, Mary Lou MacDonald, Sean Fleming, Patrick O'Donovan, Kevin Cunningham and Kevin Doyle here in studio, and Jerry Buttermer, who joined us earlier from Cork. Claire will be back with you next Saturday. For now, though, from everyone on the teams, thanks for listening and good afternoon.
Saturday with Claire Byrne, presented this week for us by David McCullough, was produced by Kay Sheehy. The broadcast coordinator was Brona Ní Chuilín. The researcher was Annette Egan, and sound supervision was by Sheila Ní Bhuail. Coming up after the break, it's Saturday Sport.
Anne had been training hard for months.